B3. Number 5A.
Well, yesterday we left the subject of the Christ translation at that point where we were considering how that Christ translation that comes from God to man, how that Christ translation shows that from the human standpoint that we should not resist that translation, and that whole second last column was showing which signs we can detect and which attitudes must be educated or cultured within us, that we let the Christ translation happen within ourselves without resistance, and that that needs also definite attitudes. Namely, we have seen, just to run through it quickly, we have seen it takes the attitude of principle from the human standpoint, which says, all right, I accept the Christ as the divine authority, as the only authority, as the all-sufficient authority. Just like Galatians is showing that. Then, at the point of life, it says to us, but we must be aware that we let really that Christ translation happen, because it will generate something new. It is an impact that is spontaneous, that may bring a mutation in consciousness, something completely novel, which we have not expected, and therefore within ourselves must be that readiness really to always be at that point where we say, all right, if something new happens, if something is going to change, let's accept it and not resist it. It comes to us also as that power of truth, which we have seen, that always knows what is right, and that penetrates every phase of our life, so that our attitude would be that we accept the Christ as the dominion, the truth, Christ as that which dominates everything, and where we say, I don't resist it, I'm not asking that I dominate the situation the way I like it, but I accept willingly that the truth penetrates in every little detail and begins to investigate and analyze every detail, comes to every detail of my life and begins to uncover what is necessary to be uncovered, and I'm not going to resist it. At the point of love, we see the power of salvation at work, which says that we accept that whatever the Christ brings, that he wants to save us and never hurt us. Never demands something of us which we cannot fulfill. It only always brings those circumstances and experience to us which will bless us and never to hurt us. It is a power of salvation, and so I accept that willingly. At the point of soul, I take the standpoint that soul is going to reform me, to transform me, so that an exchange takes place, that something will be exchanged for something else, and that there is a great overturning taking place, and that when that overturning takes place, I know that it only takes place because it wants to establish that which is divinely good. This brings me to the point of spirit, which says, therefore, in that overturning period, the situation will be purified, and I must be willing to let the situation be purified. That things are being taken away from me that do not belong to me. Friends may be taken away from me that do not belong to me. Many things in my life that I may have liked may be taken away from me. I lose it, because spirit wants to clarify, purify a situation. And I accept that. So that finally, at the point of mind, I also willingly accept that the Christ is a correcting activity and says, look here, here is a mistake, you have to change that and let it be corrected, that it comes to be therefore also as that which leads me into new ways, into new lights, towards a new purpose of life, and I am willing to accept that, so that it really can heal a situation. Do you see that all is a human attitude towards the Christ? Never forgetting, naturally, that this human attitude is not the Christ translation, is not the Christ itself. It's only our standpoint that does not resist the Christ translation. The Christ translation is always in the column before, where we had the divine standpoint. That's the power of the treatment. But in order that I do not resist the demonstration, reject the demonstration, so that really the Christ could come into me in a harmonious way, we would like to see that the Christ, even in the human, is very harmonious, brings a harmonious transition and translation and reformation and purification and manifestation. Did you hear soul, spirit, mind? That if we want to do that, there must be within us that right human standpoint that says, I am willing that the Christ happens within me the way the Christ wants to work in me. And so we come to the last column that we have here, again to the human standpoint, but here now showing what are the signs that we experience if we resist the Christ translation. If we resist really principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind to happen, and you may ask, why should we know that? This is very important. Because we learn so much from the signs of the times, we learn so much from the negative situation, because the negative situation is always that with which we are quite familiar. So that when these signs happen, when these overturnings happen, that we are aware what is working behind it, that last column is really our protection, that we don't say it is the Antichrist that is bringing forth these signs, but that we see that it is the Christ that is bringing forth these signs. What is the attitude, the human standpoint, when we resist it, and what do we experience? Well, here again, these terms must be seen in relation, not the term by itself. But what we experience, if we resist it, we begin to experience that principle is imperative, that principle is apodictical, that the principle says, I don't stop working even if you resist it. I am apodictical. You can't go against me. You have not enough power, really, to stand up against me. You have not enough authority to stand up against the Christ idea. And therefore, the sign is that we say, yes, when we resist it, we experience it as the apodictical principle which says, I don't let you go. I come just the same to you, and I am imperative, and you can't get around it. That's perhaps the tonality that we experience in the human when we try to get around the Christ idea. It is so in everyday life that if we try to resist principle that and the authority and the potential power of principle, that we feel that we get from one situation, from one problem into the other problem, and that finally we feel, I can't get around it, I have to yield. I have to bend my knees. It's no use to try to stand up against principle. Principle is imperative, and no matter how often we try to get out of a situation and to go around the situation, principle will follow us and will not give us any peace and says, I'm imperative, I'm apodictical, I don't let you go. Didn't you sometimes experience that one tries to sidestep an issue and thinks by sidestepping it we can get rid of it, only to find out later that the same situation arises again or in another way, and we finally feel, I better give in. I bend my knees. It is that what the Israelites were trying to do. That's why the prophets always called the Israelites, you are stiff-necked nation. They didn't want to bend their head nor their knees. And so they were a stiff-necked nation. The prophets always said, go back to principle, return to the Lord, return to the Lord. That was the only cry the prophets always had for the people in Israel. And the people in Israel did not go back to the Lord, and they went from one war into the other war, from one defeat to the other defeat, and they went through hell and high water because it was a stiff-necked nation. Until finally the prophet says, well, if you try to get around and try to get around, I will bring you to reason. I bring you into the captivity, first in Assyria and afterwards in the captivity of Babylon, and then you will get back to reason. And they did. So this is the tone that I feel here is that what we experience in our life when we resist the Christ principle. If we go to life, there too, life will say, well, as principle is imperative, therefore life, that dynamic power, is irrepressible, is an irrepressible power, is an irresistible power we have here. Because life says, you cannot successfully go against me. The life power is much stronger than every opposition. And we see that so wonderfully usually in nature when we walk here in the park and go along the little pathway that are with asphalt. You say asphalt with bitumens? Yeah. You always see that really underneath is life, that the roots of the trees just push up the stones and the asphalt and the bitumens or whatever it is, the concrete, and just that life is just irrepressible. Even that heavy concrete cannot really suppress the life power. And that is in nature, and so it is in being. The divine life is that terrific power that says, I cannot be resisted. I am irresistible, and therefore I am irrepressible. And so it's no use to go against the power of life, to go against the way of life. That's what we usually try to do. We want to have our way, isn't it? We want to have our way. And as metaphysicians, we think we know the way, and therefore we can dictate that way. Whereas as scientists, we should see that the Christ is the way, and that the Christ opens up the way that we have to go, and that would be the right way. Don't we experience that too? Or we come to truth and see that the truth power is penetrating everything, every situation, and is bringing the truth to every situation. Woe to them who try to resist it. they are crushed to powder. That's what the prophets tell us over and over and over. Just perhaps the best one, the most explicit one is Zephaniah. He just tells and tells over and over and over that very point, that truth is coming to every situation, just crushing to powder whatever resists that Christ truth. And so if we are resisting really the Christ consciousness, the Christ manhood, then that which resists it is our mortal manhood, and that will be just crushed to powder. When that stone cut out without hands in Daniel falls on that figure of clay, well, it crushes to powder everything. Crushes to powder mortal, the concept of mortal manhood. And that is what we then experience. We go from one situation, from one problem, from one catastrophe to the other without end. It's a line and a process without end. Until naturally, finally, we'll see, I can't do anything against the Christ. I better give in. I don't resist it. And so it is with love, that if we resist the way of salvation of love, if we resist that love wants really to bring us to salvation and into heaven, if we resist it, we experience that love as the love that enforces everything. Love is forceable. Mrs. Eric tells about that forcible love of God, which says, well, if you don't do willingly, I will teach you how finally you will have to accept it. It's always the same point that the Christ says, nothing is bigger than I am. So if I am love, I will force everybody to be brought to salvation. No matter how much he resists it, I have a way and a method to bring you to reason. I want to save you. And so it gives a terrific sense that when we contemplate sometimes a situation where perhaps we feel that some of our family or some of our relatives are just constantly resisting the Christ idea or resisting the truth, that we feel sorry for them, instead of seeing that we don't need to be sorry for them, that love always wants to save them. They are not lost. We easily then have the feeling, well, they will never really get salvation, that they never really find their peace and rest and so on. Whereas we should see, oh, that's the job of the Christ. The job of the Christ is that he lets never anybody fall forever, that he always tries to resurrect him, always tries to save him. Like the prophet said, the hand is still stretched out. No matter what Israel did, the prophets would say, the hand of the Lord is still stretched out. There is still that offer from love that says, hold my hands and I save you. So that love never says, well, you have done wrong long enough, I let you go, I quit. Love never does that. His hands is still stretched out. That's the tone of love. Then, the moment we come to the objective sense of it, where we then feel really the resistance being brought out in our body, in our life, when it is objectified then in our lives, then usually there we wake up. So the Christ idea has a way to wake us up by translating itself to our body, to our personal situation, to our personal affairs, and just brings suffering. Saul that never suffers, soul that cannot suffer, the Christ that can never suffer, brings suffering to the body, then when that Christ is resisted. Then we experience the sinful attitude within us. Sin means here not to be aligned with the Christ translation. That sin, it has nothing to do with moral sin. It's much a bigger problem, a much a profound problem, a deeper problem than just a moral question, which is anyway questionable. It is that deep sense, if you don't go along with the Christ translation, if you don't go along with that column of the divine standpoint, then at some point you will feel that as suffering, as physical suffering, as mental suffering, as psychological suffering, suffering that as mental suffering, suffering which says, here I have a big problem and I don't know how to solve the problem. I'm in a hopeless state of things. That's the point where we should realize that this suffering is not from mortal mind, fundamentally. I have to be careful now what I said, because in one way it's true, in one way it's not true. Meaning, if I have that suffering, naturally it comes from mortal mind, because I have not gone along with the Christ. So the Christ actually is behind that whole phenomena. It's therefore the Christ that brings the suffering. Do you understand me? So that you are not misunderstanding and say, well, the very nature of the Christ is to bring suffering. No, the very nature of the Christ naturally is to bless us. But if we resist that blessing, if we resist the Christ, then that naturally within us is sin, the resistance towards the Christ translation. So that sin within us, which is mortal mind, naturally brings forth in our experience suffering. That's quite clear. So we must see the line of cause and effect and go to see where really is the true cause. So we can say Christ brings suffering. That's what the chapter of Atonement and Eucharist next week will tell us over and over, that really the Christ brings suffering, though the Christ brings blessing. But you understand what I mean. I'm sure you don't misinterpret me afterwards and say I've been teaching that the Christ or God wants to bring us suffering. It is just the impact that is behind is necessary to see, namely that the Christ wants to save us, and if we resist that, then we experience it as suffering. Or when we resist the Christ at the point of spirit and are not willing to let that go which does not belong to us, if we are resisting the purification process and say, no, I don't want to part with what God wants to take away from me, then I experience that as chemicalization, as a crisis. We go through a conflict and through frustration. Can you see all the counterfeit of spirit? Chemicalization is what? When two opposing powers battle with each other, where spirit is that which leads the warfare. Spirit is that which is the only and therefore is not willing that something besides spirit is accepted. But if we, from the human standpoint, want the mingling of spirit and matter, if we, from the human standpoint, want, for instance, that our sense of right is being demonstrated and not Christ's sense of right is being demonstrated, we go through a chemicalization, we go through conflicts, we go through crisis, and experience that and say, this is animal magnetism. And this is a false conclusion. It is not animal magnetism. In the first place, it is the Christ forcing on us something. And as we do not accept that enforcement of the Christ, we entertain animal magnetism. We entertain it. We make that animal magnetism, so to say. Animal magnetism is always something that happens within our own consciousness, not in the consciousness of others or of a situation. It's that what we make out of it. And if we resist really the solution of the Christ and want our solution, we really go through hell, because those two do not mingle. Therefore, the solution for every chemicalization is always spirit, because spirit is the only spirit dechemicalizes a situation. Always when you get into a turmoil, an inner turmoil, the best thing is always to drop it and put it behind you and go right to spirit and say, well, in spirit there is no turmoil, because spirit is the only and only has one nature, not the dualistic nature, not the fighting nature, not the mingling nature. Spirit is the true nature, the divine nature, and in there is everything of the one nature. There is no battling there, and you soon get your peace back and your inner rest and peace back, because you say, after all, there is only God going on. We come to the last one, to mind, where we see that if we resist really the Christ mind, then that is pure ignorance, is pure animal magnetism. That's now animal magnetism. To resist that the divine mind is the savior for us, that the divine mind is the Christ to a situation, and so we believe in an ignorant state of things, we malpractice ourselves, and this is all animal magnetism. That's the Antichrist within ourselves. And so we experience really animal magnetism, not knowing that it is actually the Christ. We experience the Antichrist not being aware that actually it is the Christ at work. And in this way, you see, you begin to resolve things, you begin to resolve the situation, and that's what the second translation does, to translate mortal mind way right back to the divine mind. When we see there are not two realities, one is the Christ idea and the other is the Antichrist. One is the Christ mind, capital M, the other one is animal magnetism, it's ignorance, it's mortal mind. And if we see that mortal mind is nothing else but our resistance to the divine mind, and that the divine mind wants to save us, we resolve that duality, and we experience the second translation really deeply in our heart, that we see there is no possibility for animal magnetism. It has no reality, no power, no law, no action. It cannot exist, because the only thing that is ever going on is the Christ mind.